Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Adversity, one of the key words here, means difficulty, distress, about what you'd think it means, trouble. And it's interesting that that's mentioned here in the context of a friend loveth at all times. The context suggests that this would be a time where someone just pretending to be a friend or someone who's less than a friend would not love you in a time of adversity and when you're in trouble, when you're distressed, when you're sad. Just an acquaintance is not going to, somebody said, you know, you find out who your friends are when you're down. So that saying was born from experience. There's a lot of truth to that, but I think God said it better. At all times, times such as times of adversity, a love that endures, our Lord Jesus Christ being the perfect example of this and everything good, His love shines particularly during difficulties, particularly during sorrow and heartache. We take His love for granted mostly in good times, what we would call good times, until we get in trouble. And then, when we look to Him for help, we see that He brings trouble to us for this very reason, to remind us of His love for us and how lost we are without Him. We spoke of a friend being such a precious gift from the Lord. A brother is another precious gift from the Lord. And we're given a reason here why God gives us that gift. Not that a brother doesn't mean anything else but that, and is born for no other reason than that. It's good to have a brother to share. Of course, this includes a sister, a sibling, to share in all types of experiences. But particularly in adversity, God gives us brothers for this reason especially. Think about it. So that when there is trouble, distress, or difficulty, we'll have someone by our side to help us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to share the burden. Our Lord taught us in the New Testament to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What a precious thing that is. We see this in a natural brother. The Lord has made it, generally speaking, this way in natural things. When I was a young boy, all the way up to my teenage years, when I could pretty much fend for myself, if anyone would have hurt me or even bothered me or even looked at me wrong, they would have had to deal with my big brother. And it wouldn't have been fun for him. My brother was about half looking to whoop somebody all the time anyway. If you gave him an excuse, he would have taken it. But according to God, he was born for me. And I was born for him. If you're no good to your brother in a pinch, you've missed your purpose, at least part of it, at least one of them. I don't have a lot in common with my brothers now, and we've let foolish things come between us, as that so often happens in life. But I suspect if it came down to it, even now, we'd be there for each other. This is much more true in spiritual things. As as always in Scripture, the Lord takes earthly relationships and examples and causes us to look beyond those to the spiritual. We understand the earthly, and it causes our minds to go further. It gives us a picture, if you will, of what he's talking about when he gives us these spiritual lessons. And it's much more true always in spiritual things. You say, you know, people say all the time, and I'm guilty of it too, I'm sure, saying, well, that's not true except in Christ, as though that was an afterthought. I'm holy, but it's only true in Christ. What's true in Christ is most true. Everything else is another thing. And this, listen to Matthew 12. Turn with me if you would. I think we'll have time this morning. Matthew 12:46. This is important to always remember. This was a pivotal and very instructive. Our Lord, instead of trying to just define things the way men do with words upon words, he gives us examples, living examples of his truth. And this is a really, really precious one. Matthew 12:46. It says, while he yet talked to the people, the Lord Jesus Christ was inside, I guess, either someone's house or a common building where they could meet. And he was speaking to his disciples, those who followed him there and were listening to him. And behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. While he yet talked, those are key words, while he yet talked, somebody interrupted and said, apparently they weren't just standing out there, you know, off at a distance waiting for him to get done. They were making their presence known. They were insistent about it. They were clearing their throat and stuff like that or something to get his attention. And everybody in there could hear them, and somebody had to say, they're out there wanting to talk to you. It interrupted the whole thing. Your mother and your brothers are out there wanting to speak with you. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Now the Lord's not disowning his earthly family, but he's making something real clear. Do we see what it is? He's making something real clear here. He's drawing a distinction. He's setting a priority that can never change. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, toward those that were sitting there in that room hearing him speak. You couple this story with the story of Mary and Martha, when Martha was cumbered about much serving and Mary was sitting at the feet of Christ. And Martha interrupted, didn't she? Lord, tell my sister to help me. I'm trying to serve you here. Martha, Martha. You see the similarity? You see the priority set? There is nothing more vital and urgent and important than sitting where you're sitting right now, hearing the Lord speak through his word. Nothing, nobody. Don't ever let anybody get in the way of that. Don't let anything get in the way of that. And he stretched forth his hand, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. What were they doing? What's the will of the Father? They were sitting there listening to the Son of God teach. The same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now, it might seem rude of the Lord to do that, to just dismiss them like that. It might seem even irresponsible. But I want you to notice two words in verse 46. His mother and his brethren stood without. They stood without. You think about it. He said, you always have the poor with you, but you don't have me always. And there's the Son of God speaking to sinners, and they're outside. That's a problem. They interrupted the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, stood without, and caused an interruption, apparently thinking that whatever they wanted to talk to him about was more important than what he was talking about. It says in the text there, they desired to speak. The ones that the Lord said, this is my real family, they wanted to hear. They stood without, thinking that what they had to say was more important, was more urgent than what he had to say. Now who's irresponsible? The Lord had brothers that day, but it wasn't who people would have thought they were. Me too. Me too. My brothers are right here. They are, and I am for them, born for times just like this, when pretenders are exposed. Here I am. There you are. When people believe lies about us, here we are. Here we are. Most importantly, when we find ourselves to be much worse than the lies that are told about us, here we are for one another in the same boat, looking to the same hope, our Lord Jesus Christ. And above all, we brethren and sisters, we have a brother that even in all of our sin and failure is not ashamed of us. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2:10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Now you think about that. I've never seen the context like this before. For whom are all things and by whom are all things. What does he need? What in the world did he want with us? In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they who are sanctified, those for whom he shed his precious blood, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brothers. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. The one for whom is all things is not ashamed to call us his brother. The Lord Jesus Christ, to say the least, was born into this world for our adversity, to carry our adversity, to bear our sicknesses and our sorrows. And as this passage we just read says, he sanctified us with his precious blood so that we are born of God just like him. And brothers and sisters, there's no sorrow that exists, but he has felt it and is able to succor us. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, his brothers. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, being tried, he is able to succor them that are tried. Succor means to help, to bring aid. How our Lord Jesus Christ has come to our aid, our Good Samaritan. Listen to Psalm 46. Let's turn there in closing because we've got a few minutes left. Turn to Psalm 46:1. Remember, he was born. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. In other words, he was born into this world, a man, the God-man, that he might be our high priest, that he might represent us before God and sanctify us with his precious blood, as no high priest ever entered into the presence of God without somewhat to offer. He did that to help us. And when we say, let me help you, that means we just want to have some little part in it. When the scripture says God helped us, that means he saved us. Plumb saved us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear? Is that true? If that first part is true, then the second part must be true. A very present help. Is he that to you? Is he that to me? Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed? Though every foundation, everything we count on is pulled out from under us, we won't be afraid. And remove, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. May the Lord give us grace to all day today think about the glorious truth that he's not ashamed to call us his family. And may we fit the description of his family as he described it. Those that sit at his feet and hear from him. Learn of him and find rest under our souls. Let's pray.